The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed from her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Discarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
I believe our beloved Lord would want to offer each one of us the same invitation that he offered Jairus. When Jairus got the news, don't trouble the teacher. Jesus responded, "Just have faith." What words of our beloved Lord that are eternal. It's Jesus speaking to you and me every time we come to Mass. It's his living word. And his message for you and for me this Sunday is clearly, just have faith. We're going to witness two teenagers that are stepping up and they're exercising their faith. And we can all maybe ask that question. I know in my life I've asked it, and I'm sure the vast majority, if not all of you, have asked this. Especially when the rough waters come, like last Sunday. Remember when they're in the boat and Jesus is sleeping in the cushion and they awoke him and he said, "Oh, you have little faith," and he calmed the sea. I don't know about you, but sometimes life can really be hard. There can be challenges. We can look at this past year, what we've all been through together. And for someone to have said, this time last year when we had masses outside and our amazing staff beyond anybody's sight, was hauling out speakers and lining things up and doing everything we can to gather people, for people to just say, just have faith. You're like, yeah, but where is everybody? But now everybody's coming back. And our Lord speaks to us the same message today that he does every day of our life. Just have faith. But here's the question. And I often ask this question of you and also of me. Do I have a definition of faith? If I were to leave for Mass this Sunday and go to work on Monday, or maybe go play a round of golf or go swimming in the pool with my friends, and someone would say to me, what is faith? Do I have a definition of faith? If we don't have a grounded definition of faith rooted in the person of Jesus Christ, that invitation, just have faith, won't really resonate. That invitation from Jesus Christ to every person in this world today, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, he is the answer to everything, won't resonate. And he won't be able to work the miracles that maybe we cry out for. Catechism number 2609. And y'all are probably going to get sick of hearing me say this the whole time I'm here. You know where I'm going, those of you who've been here and heard me say it. But it's one definition of faith in the catechism that has really been embedded on my heart to understand in my life what is faith. And it says this, 2609. Once a person is committed to conversion. So if we want to have faith, we got to begin with conversion. That turning around and saying, I can't do it. I can't control it all. It's beyond my control. And what do? We turn in faith and walk to the one who can make it happen. As they did last week. They couldn't control the waves. We can't control the circumstances in our life. We can't control the free will of other people, either poorly used or used well. And so sometimes we just go crying, like we see Jairus and we see the woman with the hemorrhage. Back to the definition. Once a person is committed to conversion, a change, not easy, a changing of life, the heart begins to pray in faith. The heart, prayer coming from the heart, no mention of words. The heart begins to pray in faith. And then it goes on and it says, faith is a filial, which means son-like or daughter-like. Just like Jesus turning to the woman with the hemorrhage and saying, daughter, after he healed you, daughter, you have been healed. Your faith has saved you. Filial adherence to God beyond what one feels or understands. Joe and Jim are going to step up here. I can't promise you you're going to feel different when you leave. I can't even promise you you're going to understand everything about the Catholic faith and be able to rattle everything off, because I'm still learning it. We're going to spend the rest of our life and all eternity trying to explain things like the redemptive value of suffering. We're going to spend the rest of our life and on into eternity marveling at our Lord, at his goodness, at his mercy, at his greatness. And so to have a definition of faith that's rooted in the person of Jesus Christ, in the God that we believe in, not the gods that can take over our heart, the different ideologies, the things that we do. We can follow other gods, but we are here because we believe in the one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Faith is a filial adherence to God beyond what we feel or understand. Let's take that to the gospel. Let's look at the gospel. It's a lot to unpack today. It's a lot to go through today. And if you don't get it all, I invite you, please, not for me, for yourselves. Let Jesus speak to your heart. If we walk out of Sunday and we step into Monday, And we go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we don't pick up the living word of God and read it and turn it over in our heart. How can we be led by the Spirit? Let him speak to you through his living word. Today we see that Jesus came across the sea. He's all-knowing. He knew the woman with the hemorrhage. He knew her suffering of 12 years. And she had courage. But before she even came and approached him, Jairus came up. And Jairus was literally like, he was the arch rabbi of the town. He was the most important in the town. It's like a whatever mayor of Charlotte or whatever, the biggest, most important archbishop. It's like a pope of the town. And he was supposed to be the tough guy that had faith all figured out. A lot of times we can look at us priests and bishops and we can say, oh, they wear these things and they study the theology and they know everything, but they got it all figured out. We don't have it figured out. We are walking with you. And the challenge of that time was some thought they just had it all figured out, and their pride became an obstacle to faith. What did Jairus do? He humbled himself. He fell at the feet of the Lord, and he begged that his daughter might be healed. He didn't freak out. He trusted. He says, just come with me, come to my house. And our Lord said, I'll go with you. And as he's walking, this woman comes up in the crowd. She comes up in the crowd, 12 years suffering of a hemorrhage. Something internal, a wound internal. Something that nobody else could see. And she comes up, she says, if I just get through the crowd and if I just touch his clothing, his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus let that moment happen and let her come up and just reach out and touch the bottom part. Maybe she crawled up through the crowd, made her way through, and just says, if I just touch him, all I gotta do is touch him. I don't need to see him. I don't need to speak to him. He can heal me. And Jesus turns around and he says, who touched me? And the apostles are like, Lord, there's people hemming you in on all sides. What are you talking about? He said, power went out from him. Do we think that Jesus just arrived to the Garden of Gethsemane and sweated blood just that moment? Or that he went to the cross and all the strength it took for him to go to the cross because he prayed, Father, forgive me. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass, but not my will, yours be done. I believe Jesus prepared himself, prepared his sacred heart his whole life long. It said he bore our infirmities. By his wounds we were healed. Jesus, when he healed his mother-in-law, the mother-in-law of Peter, took away her sickness. He took it upon him. He sat there healing people. Maybe he took the hemorrhage of that woman and all that pain. He took that pain and he took it into him. Power went out for me, but the feeling is there, and he turned and he took it. Do you know when priests sit in a confessional that they are called to offer penance for everybody who comes in? They apply a penance and they take one with them. We're called to offer prayer and sacrifice for that. So that's why when Father Mike or I or other priests sit in a confessional, sometimes sitting in a box for 2 hours, it's not the easiest, but it's a great penance. It's a great sacrifice for those who are coming. And it's so beautiful to see those type of miracles, that type of healing happen inwardly. That provides the deep spiritual healing. You see, the woman with the hemorrhage, she would have been thought of in the time as someone who was suffering because of her sins or because of her parents' sins. That's how they justify offer the sacrifice. There was the priesthood and the sacrifice were separate. They were separate. There was the priest who came in and did the priest things, and then they sacrificed an animal. But Jesus Christ came and he took the priesthood and the sacrifice and he put them in one. And he not only became the priest, but he became the sacrificial lamb. And he brought redemptive value to human suffering. the little child being brought back to life? It'd be kind of odd just to bring somebody back to life with that small group of people. Why did he take Peter, James, and John? You ever ask yourself that question in prayer? Why just them? Maybe to strengthen their faith. They were so close to him, they were walking with him for years. Well, Father, I've been walking with Jesus for years. I've been a Catholic 30 or 40, 50 years. That's beautiful. Have I encountered Jesus? Have I truly encountered this person of Jesus Christ that moves me in a way? I've had the grace to go with the teens to the Steubenville Conference, and we got it lined up this year. It's in Atlanta. It's with 5,000 teenagers. And every time I go with teenagers who have never experienced that type of conference, it's amazing to watch the transformation, because when they show up, they're like, a lot of times like this, which is normal. It's okay. It's uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable. They're looking like everybody else is kind of around like this and doing this. And then the last night before the mass the next day, I'm not kidding you, it's like a transformation. They see their teens out there. They see people opening up. They've experienced confession. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes in a monstrance, walking in, and the faith comes alive. And people are singing, and they're reaching out, and they just want to touch, and they're saying, it's amazing. And people say, oh, that's charismatic. That's just all emotion. Is it? Was Jairus all emotion? Was the woman in the hemorrhage who put her faith in our Lord crawling up through the dirt, just trying to touch them, all emotion? And we have to ask ourselves deep down in our heart, when I come to Mass, is my faith being put into action? How is my response at the great amen? Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All glory and honor is praise. It's coming in a moment. It's Jesus in the Eucharist. And sometimes, as a priest, you have to sit there and people go, amen. Did anybody say amen? Which means it's true. And some will say, well, you know, Father, we're trying to turn our church into Elevation Church. Trying to make it Elevation Church. Well, maybe we should go to Elevation Church and see the way they pray, amen. And sing amen. And get fired up about the living word of God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is real. He's real. We're back from this pandemic. He's brought us through it. Our faith is alive. Let's express it and not be afraid to express it. To be able to sing. The words are on the screen. To respond with an amen like I believe. To have a living, active, and luminous faith. To encounter this Lord who comes to meet us in the today of our life and wants us to go beyond our feelings and our understanding and to take his message out into the world. We have the answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ. And he wants to not only heal us, but the world. Just have faith.